Just want to recap a little bit to bring us back up to where we were when we left off a couple weeks ago. If you remember in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah went back to build the city, and people came to help him, and they started building. There were those around them that didn't want them to rebuild, so they were coming in and ridiculing their work. They got the walls built halfway high. The enemy still was coming in at them, attacking them, accusing them of being weak, accusing them of not having the ability to do what they were going to do, criticizing their motivation, and laughing at their ambitions. So the enemy was trying to destroy God's people because the enemy did not want God to be glorified. And that's essentially what happens when the enemy tries to break us down and belittle us and ridicule us. But God's people prayed consistently and constantly watched for these attacks so that they could keep the enemy from destroying them and fight back against the enemy. But as they were rebuilding the wall, all this started to take its toll on God's people, and God's people started becoming tired of building. They were getting weak, and they were getting afraid of these threats that the enemy was now going to come in and physically attack them to stop them. But remember, Nehemiah said, don't be afraid. Remember the Lord. Stand firm. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Stand firm. He encouraged them. So they resumed their mission and they went back to building. They needed to work together. Like a good defense trying to protect their team's lead, they needed to work together. As I watched basketball games this past basketball season, I watched as how the team would set up its defense and the other team would come down the court with the ball and they communicated. The one guy would say, I got him, you got him, and they'd be on the guy. When things would shift around, the defense would shift. They'd always made sure they had somebody covered. They worked together protecting the team's lead. Sort of like a good football team, you know, the defense sets up thinking or looking at the offense, how the offense is set up, and anticipating what the play is going to be. They set up, but sometimes they don't do a good job of it, and the offense goes, the play proceeds, and the defense has to shift around. In fact, they have a man that's called the safety to try and prevent the offense from scoring. They needed to work together like a good defense. The enemy kept attacking God's people, which meant they were attacking God. And the enemy attacks God's people because when God's people fail and their work is destroyed, God's glory is destroyed. That's how the enemy works, to get at God. The enemy has no power against God, so he works on the powerless to remove God's glory and disgrace God. There's nothing more that the enemy wants than to stain God and God's people, to stain us so that God's glory is hidden. You know, it's like a good quilt, like a beautiful quilt that somebody sewed. Spend hours and hours on this beautiful quilt with intricate designs, but you get one stain on that quilt. And what's it do to the quilt? What's it do to the quilt? And everybody looks at that quilt, what are they going to see? They're going to see that stain, right? They're going to focus on the stain, and the quilt loses its beauty, so to speak. Or maybe like a new car. You buy a new car, it's got all the bells and whistles, it's got that wonderful smell, it's all shined up, but it's got that one scratch on it. That one scratch that steals the car's luster, ruins its luster. When people come to see your new car, they see the car, they see how beautiful it is, but there's that one scratch, and they go home and they remember that one big scratch on that new car. The same way with God's people. If the enemy can get to us, it ruins God's glory, His luster, and His beauty. And in this case, the people were becoming tired and scared because the enemy kept attacking them and threatening them. And the solution that they found was to focus on the weak link. If you remember that he started focusing on the lowest points of the wall, putting the people together in small groups to fight together and encourage them to stand firm and not be afraid, to remember God's power and all that God has done. And we remember that when the enemies heard that they were aware of their plot and God had frustrated their plot, they returned to the wall, each to his own work. Okay? So, They went back to the wall, back to building, encouraged, lifted up, and strengthened, reminded to remember the Lord. From that day on, though, the strategy changed. As a good team always has a good strategy, God's people, the faith community, and I'm not talking about the community out there, the community of Elamscore, I'm talking about the faith community, the church, the body of believers in Jesus Christ, always has to have a good strategy, because I'm going to tell you something, the enemy is always attacking us. Always trying to tear us down in whatever way he can do that to steal God's glory. From that day on, half my men did the work while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. Their strategy now started to change. There was physical involvement, there was verbal communication, and the people were always available should any trouble erupt. They split up the workload, they divided the workload now. Half the men did the work while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, and bows and armor. Now all of a sudden everybody wasn't working on the wall. Some were getting breaks, but they were standing watch while others worked. And they would shift back and forth so that people were getting breaks. And everybody would be strong and refreshed. Small groups working and watching. They became physically involved in battling against the enemy. They physically supported one another. The officials posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. So, you see, they physically were there present while the people were building despite the attacks. It wasn't just, oh, I'll say a prayer for you, I'll keep you in my heart. They physically were present. And in the faith community of God, physical presence is of the utmost importance. It's fine to give somebody a phone call. It's fine to send somebody a note or a letter in the mail. But nothing and absolutely nothing outweighs the immensity of a physical presence. Go and visit, being involved, helping someone in their struggles. Physically involved. Physically supporting one another is what they were doing. And everyone was prepared for an attack, because those who were building the wall and carried the materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other, and each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Everyone was prepared for an attack. Everyone was alert and ready. So there was all this physical involvement. They divided the workload. They physically supported one another with their presence. And they were all prepared for an attack. Not just one person, not just two people, not just maybe two or three prayer warriors. The whole community was prepared for an attack. Secondly, in their strategy, they had verbal communication. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is extensive and spread out. We're widely separated from each other along the wall. Wherever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. You see, this created a problem in their small groups, fighting in their small groups. Now, they weren't side by side anymore. There were gaps in the groups where the enemy could infiltrate into the city and break the city down again. But he said, we're widely separated. You know what that word separated in the old text in the ancient Hebrew language means? Out of joint. We're out of joint. Like a dislocated joint. We're dislocated people. We're separated from each other. We need to be reconnected. And they did this through verbal communication. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there and our God will fight for us. In other words, wherever there was trouble, they were to blow the trumpet and everybody else was to come to their aid. Okay? So they had physical involvement. Okay? Their physical presence. They were physically working and helping one another. But they also had this plan of verbal communication. You know, again, I continue to really get disgusted in our age and our society of technology, how verbal communication or communication period is going down the tubes. We have all these avenues to communicate, but we're not communicating. Language is so much now changed. I heard the other day about a girl who had a baby just the other day. I said, I didn't even know she was expecting. Nobody ever said a thing. And people say, well, gee, that's your job. You should have known that. You should have been in contact with her. Let me tell you, folks, one person cannot do it all. If that's the case every day, I'd have to make 200 phone calls, probably check 100 Facebook pages, probably send out 100 or 150 emails every single day to keep in contact and in touch with the whole faith community. But lo and behold, God bless people who call me and say, hey, I was to see so-and-so, and this is wrong, or this is happening, this is how they're doing. And instantly I hear the Lord saying, that's where you need to be. You see, the more we communicate with one another and get the communication going, the more we can go there physically and say, what do you need? How can I help you? Rather than saying 2 or 3 weeks after they've been out of the hospital and had surgery, I didn't even know you were in the hospital. And we're afraid to ask them how they're doing or how Uncle Billy's doing, because last we knew, Uncle Billy was really sick and was supposed to die, and we're afraid maybe he died, but we don't know. You understand what I'm saying? Verbal communication, sounding the trumpet, letting others know when we're having trouble, so that we as a faith community can come to their aid and their rescue, whatever that might be. Thirdly, they had a committed group, committed to be available to each other always. We continued the work with half the men holding spears from the first light of dawn till the stars came out. And at that time, I said to the people, have every man and his helper stay inside Jerusalem at night so they can serve us as guards by night and workmen by day. Neither I, nor my brothers, nor my men, nor the guards with me took off our clothes. Each had his weapon, even when he went for water. They took this seriously. They really took this seriously. I think today one of the major problems that exists in the Church of Jesus Christ is that we're not taking seriously the fact that we have an enemy who is proactive and is active every single day attacking us in our personal lives and attacking our churches. In fact, he's here right now today. He never misses a Sunday in church because there are minds that are wandering. There are all kind of things going on this morning, and he's trying to cause confusion among us. They took this seriously, and we need to take it seriously too. Constantly committed, guards and workmen, night and day. So much so that if somebody has a problem, they know they can call us at 2 o'clock in the morning because they know we've got their back. We know that if there's a problem at noon when we're sitting and eating, that they can call us. Physically involved. We'll be right there with them, physically supporting them. Verbally communicating, sounding the trumpet when there's trouble. And always available for each other. Building the kingdom of God is not a 9-to-5 job. And I say this in love. Shame on us. Shame on us if our spiritual relationship with God consists of 1 hour on Sunday morning. What kind of a relationship? It's not a relationship. It's just simply an acquaintance. If our only time with God is 1 hour on Sunday morning. And the only scripture we read is what the pastor reads on Sunday morning from the pulpit. That's not a relationship at all. Who do we have a relationship with that we spend an hour a week? You see, most of us, or some of us, spend more than that every day on Facebook. But we can't find time to spend it with God. Building the kingdom is glorifying God, and there's never a time when we have off. There's no vacation. Though we may sleep physically, we're ready at a moment's notice, whatever the need. And we should always rest assured that if we need help, there are others who have our backs. There are others who will come to our aid and to our need. One of the things, as I read this, I thought about a little bit, the people of God back then and the people of God today. There's no difference. They were different tribes, different people, different likes and dislikes, different gifts, different abilities. But they had one common bond, and that was that they were God's people. They were God's people. And there's one common bond that we all share amongst ourselves here at St. John's, and that we also share with all the rest of the Christians around the world, is that we are God's people. We're God's children. We're a team. And our success hinges on our teamwork. When was the last time we asked someone, "What do you need? How can I help? What can I do to help you out? Or let me know if you need any help. I've got you covered." We're going to see here that this strategy changed the whole story. And we're going to see how it was part of God's continuing to bless the people. They started out small. They got the walls built halfway. God blessed them. But the enemy stepped up the attacks. But they did not stop. They dug in with a new strategy. And we're going to see, coming up shortly, how successful they were. They remembered that God was faithful. They remembered why they started in the first place. And they remembered God, who was awesome and great, to the point that they were willing to fight to the death, knowing God would fight for them and the victory would be theirs. Three great principles that are absolutely essential in the life of a Christian. Physical involvement in the lives of others. Verbal communication, sounding the trumpet when you need help or when you know somebody else that does need help, so that others can come to their aid. And thirdly, making yourself always available. Always available when someone's in trouble. Let's pray. God, our Father.